Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideo in Bonn. Coming up, from the mines to the farms, South Africa continues to grapple with labour unrest.
The current dispute is more related to the so-called seasonal workers that come in only certain times of the year when production is at its highest.
A diamond watchdog accuses Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe's associates of stealing $2 billion from diamond sales.
I'm actually expecting community issues, issues that are related to human rights, issues that are related to how the money is being used in the diamond mining sector.
These stories, plus our popular Learning by Ear drama series, right here on Africa Link. Stay tuned.
Top story.
No more sour grapes. 11 farm workers in South Africa's wine-producing region of Western Cape were arrested on Monday as they clashed with the police while continuing their strike for higher wages. The labourers at De Dorens claim that they are still being treated like slaves while farm owners enrich themselves. Africa's largest economy has been plagued by a series of violent labour unrest for the past 3 months. Subri Govender reports.
Hundreds of farm labourers in the areas of X River and De Dorens in the Western Cape province of South Africa took to the streets to protest against poor living and working conditions. The labourers had barricaded themselves in an informal settlement, set up roadblocks and burnt tyres to demonstrate their anger. Earlier, they set alight tens of hectares of vineyards and raided shops. They are demanding wages of 150 rand a day. That's around $17. At the moment, they receive just 69 rand, the equivalent of $8. Heavily armed police fired tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse the striking laborers early on Monday. The laborers say their working conditions are pathetic and they are still being treated like slaves. Their plight has been taken up by the Labor Federation, Congress of South African Trade Unions, COSATU. Tony Ehrenreich is the Western Cape Secretary of COSATU.
All workers in agriculture want 150 rand a day so that they can have decent living conditions. These slave wages that are a remnant of apartheid continues to marginalize and impoverish so many rural communities.
The farm laborers' dispute erupted into protest on Monday after talks to resolve their problems ended in failure 24 hours earlier. The worker representatives, leaders of the agricultural sector, and government ministers and officials had met in Cape Town to try and negotiate an agreement. The Minister of Agriculture, Tina Jumat-Peterson, also held talks in the South African capital city of Pretoria on Monday with all parties in the dispute in an attempt to reach an agreement. Jumat-Peterson acknowledged in an interview that the farm laborers have genuine claims, but appeal to the labourers not to be involved in acts of violence.
We appeal to the workers not to take the law into their own hands, not to burn down farms, not to engage in any illegal activity.
The agriculture minister said she was confident that the minimum wages of the farm labourers would be increased.
We are at a stage where we are convinced that a solution will be found soon. And we are convinced that the minimum wage of the farm workers will be reviewed.
But the situation in De Dorens and X River is still very tense, and the workers are adamant that they would continue with their protests until their demands are met.
Subri Govender in South Africa. The Federation of Unions of South Africa, FEDUSA, said in a press release it believes the strike is politically motivated. Gretchen Humphreys is Deputy General Secretary of FEDUSA. Via Skype, I asked her what evidence the union had to back up this claim.
From investigations that we've had, it appears that the farmers are paying their wages, and the current dispute is more related to the so-called seasonal workers that come in only certain times of the year when production is at its highest. What we're finding currently is that workers are being bussed in, and they're causing a lot of the disruptions. Some of the disputes are more related to things like legislation that's in force in terms of ensuring that farm workers are not removed from the farms when the farm is sold. And some of these problems seems to be related rather to that than just merely a question of a dispute about wages.
But there are poor working conditions there. Don't they contribute to the farmers' anger?
I think some of the working conditions at this stage are things that are constantly being monitored. However, one needs to remember that a farm is a unit on functioning on its own. The actual working conditions on the farms are conditions between the farmer and the workers. And it appears that some of these areas are more related to one or two farms in the area where the farm workers that have lived on pieces of land are removed when the farm is sold to another new owner.
You've mentioned that they're temporary workers who also come when the season is high. So who exactly is striking at the moment? Are those the temporary workers or are these farm workers who are employed by the farmers?
The strike seems to be farm workers that are being placed off the farms. In other words, it's subject to ownership changes that are taking place. They are unhappy with the changing in ownership and have to then be removed from the farm or have to leave the farm, though they've worked there for many years. A lot of the seasonal workers are also causing the problems. And the problem is not necessarily the farmer, but the so-called third party that procures the worker for the farmer.
Well, the average wage for the farm worker is considerably low at around 69 or 70 rands a day. Why wouldn't the employers keep refusing to hike it to avoid major strikes like this?
I think one needs to take consideration of the environment. Seasonal workers can earn up to 150 rand a day if the sectoral determination is applied. And they are paid according to the basket of goods or produce that are picked according to certain wages. And a certain portion of their wages also goes to the labor broker. There are groups within South Africa, or specifically groups within the Western Cape, that are trying to make the Western Cape ungovernable in certain areas.
So what you're saying is that there could be a risk that this could spread to other farms in South Africa?
There's always a risk that it can spread to other areas in South Africa, but we believe that government is giving national attention to the matter and that we will not see a further spread.
FEDUSA Deputy General Secretary Gretchen Humphreys in Johannesburg.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
Gearing for battle. Malian officials on Monday welcomed the decision by West African leaders to send 3,300 troops to oust Islamist insurgents from northern Mali, pending a United Nations resolution. The Islamists used a power vacuum created by a military coup in March to take control over the north. ECOWAS leaders also promised to ensure there is constitutional order in Guinea-Bissau, where since independence, no elected government has ever finished a tenure in office without being overthrown by the military. From Abuja, Ben Shemang with more details.
Faced with the killings, the destruction of public places, the gross violation of human rights, West African leaders have decided in favor of a military intervention which they hope will bring the insurgents in Mali to an end. 3,300 ECOWAS soldiers are available for deployment by the coastline nations. Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan believes constitutional order in both Mali and Guinea-Bissau needs to be restored. He is concerned that the instability could spread to other West African countries.
Guinea-Bissau and Mali need our help to stabilize and recover lost grounds. These two countries need to move away from conflict and embrace development. This is what all our citizens deserve. It is our duty to work together in friendship and in solidarity to create the conditions that will promote development and bring prosperity to all our citizens.
Algeria is concerned because it shares boundary with Mali. It is worried about a possible influx of both refugees and Islamic militants. The United Nations still feels there is room for dialogue between ECOWAS and the insurgents. Mr. Said Janid represented the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon at the summit in Abuja.
It is therefore important for the Malian authority to rapidly set up the negotiations committee proposed by President Traoré on 29th July, engage in the negotiations process with armed and rebel groups in the north with the support of the ECOWAS mediation.
The Mediation and Security Committee of ECOWAS is still making desperate efforts to avoid full-scale war in Mali. Even though ECOWAS leaders have decided in favor of military intervention, The United Nations still has the final say, as it has to give it approval before the troops are deployed to Mali.
Ben Shemang in Abuja. In Zimbabwe, a report on Monday by Partnership Africa Canada, a leading diamond watchdog, claims about $2 billion worth of diamonds have been stolen from the country's Marange diamond fields, one of the world's biggest diamond deposits. The report, which coincides with Zimbabwe's conference on diamond trade at Victoria Falls, also alleges that most of the diamond profits have been used to line the pockets of President Robert Mugabe's ruling circle. Columbus Mavunga is at the conference venue and sent us this report.
The report released Monday by Partnership Africa Canada alleges Zimbabwe's diamond fields have been plundered by senior government officials instead of being allowed to generate wealth for the nation. Partnership Africa Canada is a member of the Kimberley Process, the world body that regulates the diamond trade. Goodwills Masimirembwa, who heads the Zimbabwe Mining Development Corporation, ZMDC, dismissed the report as a creation of the West. He questioned the timing of the report's release, which occurred on the same day that Zimbabwe was hosting a diamonds conference to clear its tainted image. Refusing to comment in depth on the report, he said the West must remove sanctions if Zimbabwe's diamonds were to get their true value on the world market.
We want the playing field to be even. We want sanctions removed yesterday so that we receive optimal value for our diamonds for the benefit of the people of Zimbabwe.
The West imposed smart sanctions on President Mugabe and his senior ZANU-PF officials in 2002 following reports of human rights abuses. Such abuses were also reported in the diamond fields, forcing the Kimberley Process regulators to suspend Zimbabwe's diamonds from the market. That suspension has since been lifted. But the European Union's ambassador to Zimbabwe, Aldo de la Rescia, says that does not necessarily mean Brussels is going to lift the sanctions it imposed on Mugabe and his officials.
Human rights and environment is not covered by the Kimberley Process. So a country can be compliant in terms of the Kimberley Process, but still have to face some problems with the issues related to human rights and environment. And I have to say that we are working together with the government in order to indeed make sure that this re-engagement process will be successful.
That is a reference to talks between Brussels and Harare in a bid to normalize relations. Zimbabwe says its poor relations with the EU is affecting the price of its diamonds in Europe and on the world market. Meanwhile, Zimbabwe's diamonds, one of the world's biggest diamond deposits, have so far not helped the country out of its economic doldrums. Some blame corruption, while Mugabe blamed sanctions. It is for this reason that the government is holding a two-day conference called Unlocking Zimbabwe's Diamond Potential Together. It has drawn together international dealers and officials from all diamond mining countries worldwide. Shamiso Mutisi, who heads Zimbabwe Civil Society Coalition for the Kimberley Process, believes the emphasis of the conference should be on human rights.
I'm actually expecting community issues, issues that are related to human rights, issues that are related to how the money is being used in the diamond mining sector, because that is quite important for the ordinary Zimbabwean out there. What they want to know is how the money is being used, where it is being used, whether it will be ploughed to social services and improving the lives of people who are suffering there. For me, that's quite important. If this conference does not address that then it doesn't make sense.
That report was compiled by Columbus Mavunga at the Diamond Conference in Victoria Falls.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Welcome to Learning by Ear and Episode 7 of our new drama series about deforestation. Set within the dramatic backdrop of civil war, this story reveals how deforestation, the loss of trees and grasslands, has destroyed rural life and created conflict between two farming communities. Now thrown together as refugees in Dovani camp, these people are beginning to find common solutions for the future. In today's episode, little Akiki has disappeared. Join us now.
But where did she run away? Where has she gone?
Ma, I think she got an idea from the story you told her about the old man hiding in the lenge tree. Akiki thinks that her sister could be hiding in that big lenge tree in Abanto.
Oh my goodness. Has she really gone there?
No one knows, Ma Kiko. But standing here won't help. The men are out searching in jeeps. Please go home.
Stop worrying. Just go and relax. She'll be fine.
Aye. Ladies, we said we'd collect medicinal herbs and roots for our clinic. We need to report back our findings. Are you willing to go out without me? I need to write up the last meeting's minutes.
That's all right. It's okay. There's no problem.
Hello, Chika. You look miserable. Can I cheer you up?
Oh, hello, Mulogo. I need to write up the minutes from the last meeting, but you can make me some tea if you like.
On that rocket stove?
Yes. We are passing the stove around so everyone can get to use it. It's my turn today. Can you work it?
Of course. You do your work. I'll get this going. I'm impressed. It's cleaner than the old metal charcoal stove we had back home. My father's quite clever, after all. Listen, Chika. I know maybe now is not the right time. I'm actually busy thinking about the future.
Ah, there you are, Chika. Oh,
hello, Mulogo. Mm-hmm. Making tea? Oh, great. Or am I disturbing?
No, Talib. Not at all. Look, I really have to work. The women's meeting is soon. I'll go and work inside. You guys talk outside.
Sorry, I came at the wrong time. I didn't know that you and she... it's none of my business. Well, actually, it is my business. Chika and I work and get on very well together. I would hate that to change.
Oh, and why should that change?
Look, I like Chika very much.
Whoa, stop. Too much information. I came to talk to Chika, to say that I have plans for the future.
Well, then I'm right. And I do have a reason to worry.
What? Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about setting up a meeting.
A meeting?
Yes, with you guys.
With us?
Yes, with Help Africa. I need to understand how you guys work. I have some great ideas. One great idea. I need to know if Help Africa can really help.
Then let's talk later when Chika has more time after her women's meeting.
Ladies, welcome. And thank you all for your support this morning. I can't sit at home crying. Who will volunteer to take the minutes?
Themba, do I see your hand up?
Yes, I'll do it.
Oh, thank you. That's great. All of you will need to have these skills later when you start negotiating with the forest stakeholders and government over land rights. So start practicing now. You do it next time, Alice. Okay.
Now, according to our agenda, we have two reports. One from the soya planting group and one from the medicinal herbs group. Chika, I believe you are the first.
Yes, right. Well, we had a planting session this morning and finished 10 rows of soya. It's just the right time of the year. The soil is warm and loose. It is better since we added organic mulch and sand. The clay was too hard before for planting.
You cannot believe how neat the rows look.
When the plants are fully grown, the canopy will completely cover the spaces between the rows. That's good for growth.
And the oil press that Help Africa is making available to the camp will help us to manufacture soya cooking oil.
It's all excellent news. Thank you. And from the women who went into the forest,
I can report that the ladies brought back 6 large baskets of kapok bark, mint and ginger. Yeah. We can definitely be happy that the fauna and flora in the forest to the west are still intact. As long as we keep the forest intact too, we should have plenty of herbs for all our needs.
Congratulations, ladies. on a wonderful day's work.
Ah, here comes Chika. How was the meeting?
Oh, it was great. We've made a lot of progress. Am I disturbing anything?
No, not at all. Please, Chika, sit down. I want to ask you and Talib if Help Africa also helps local community enterprises to get started on a development program that is meant to bring profit and income to the community.
I don't think we have the funds. We too need funding and we rely on the bigger fish to finance our projects. You know.
But we do talk about forming partnerships. What exactly do you have in mind, Mulogo?
We know the use of traditional firewood for fuel is depleting our forests, and that burning wood indoors causes serious breathing problems, especially for the women who do the cooking.
And for their children.
Right. But there are also environmental reasons. Don't forget how valuable our trees are for our water, for sheltering or plants and cattle. They give off moisture and oxygen.
You and Chika convinced me on that a long time ago, Talib. But to save the trees, we need clean alternative fuels. I've been reading that we can burn waste products, cow dung, human waste, all crops, on a scale that benefits a small community. I can show you. Here.
Yes, Talib and I have often talked about biodigesters. We visited a project once. The biodigester was built underground and the methane gas that came out of the process of burning waste was used for heat, light and cooking.
The beauty of it is clean, easy fuel for rural communities. It is good for the atmosphere too. Look, according to these figures, it takes a total investment of between 400 and 800 euros for one biodigester in Africa.
What you're asking is whether Help Africa would invest in a biodigester scheme.
And support a profit-making social enterprise.
In a nutshell, yes.
As with all these things, Mulogo, one has to come up with a careful business plan, a cost-effective analysis.
What's going on? A lorry? At this time?
I heard it too. Let's have a look. There is the driver. Ask him.
Hey! Did you see a young girl?
He can't hear you. Look, over there. There she is. It's a Kiki. Chika is with her and another girl.
Ma, Kipko, Isi, she's safe. Akiki is safe.
Oh, thank God.
Akiki, my darling.
Mama, I found her, like in my dream. The driver took me there.
Ceci? You found your missing sister, Ceci?
And my husband? My sons?
Kato, did you see my brother, Kato?
Shh. I'm afraid you'll have to wait. Ceci's in shock. She can't speak. The driver told me they found her huddled inside a tree in the forest. Akiki knew exactly where to look.
Yes, I knew where she was. Oh, Itzi, I found her, like Mama said, in the Lenge tree.
Come, Chika.
Mulogo.
I'll make tea for us and we can warm up a bit.
Yes, thank you. I'd like that. It's been a long, long night. Thank God it ended happily.
Yes, but you and I need to talk about us.
And that's all from today's Learning by Ear series, If a Tree Falls. If you want to hear the program again or tell friends about it, please visit our website at dw.de/lbe. Goodbye for now.
And before we wind up, a reminder of our main stories. Police in South Africa's wine-producing Western Cape said on Monday they had arrested 11 people following a violent strike by farm workers. Germany and Malian officials have welcomed a decision by ECOWAS leaders to send troops into northern Mali controlled by Islamists. And a report released on Monday by Partnership Africa Canada claims diamonds worth $2 billion have been stolen from Zimbabwe's Marange diamond fields by President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF ruling circle. That's all we had for you. To send us your comments and suggestions on the show by writing an email to feedback.africa@dw.de or by postal mail to Africa Link, DW53110, Bonn, Germany. Until we meet again, this is Crispin Mwakideu in Bonn.